aware of this human experience. Senses receiving sensation. That natural process at work. Mind receiving experience. Sensing, cognizing, hearing, seeing. Happening on their own. Opening more and more fully to just this, experience here and now. The vastness of here and now. Experience changes quickly, moment to moment. We don't have to try to keep up with it. Sometimes it can feel like a flood or a flow or just streaming sensations and thoughts and moods and emotions and sounds. We don't have to try to track or follow or just allowing this moment in its radically changing nature to show itself. Relaxation supports this connection. Supports an opening to the stream of experience. Sometimes, as the mindfulness gets stronger, the continuity gets stronger, wisdom is interested in just how quickly things shift and change. The radical, impermanent nature, moment to moment, and arising and ceasing. Nothing existing, just changing experience. As wisdom opens to this flavor of experience, as wisdom orients to perceive or recognize the impermanent nature of experience at this radically rapid level, the mind begins to understand that we have no idea what the next moment will be. Sometimes we don't even really know what this moment is. It is actually true that there's no way to know what the next moment will be. But this truth is often obscured by ideas, concepts, as we explore more and more the what is happening, as even those ideas and concepts being something just simply arising and ceasing in the moment. Those concepts begin to weaken, the belief in those concepts begins to weaken, and we touch into just this radical impermanence and an understanding of the vastness of the conditioning that we can't know what the next moment will bring. As wisdom sees that truth, begins to reveal that truth to the mind, our habits, our patterns, our prior conditioning often resists it, doesn't like that very much. Our relationship to that understanding, our relationship to seeing that directly, often a sense of vulnerability, fear, confusion, insecurity. And those experiences are also simply impermanent arisings. Yet they need to be seen. Because the mind will suffer as it believes those relationships. There is the truth that we don't know the next moment. It is not a necessity to have fear that we don't know the next moment. That's the mind believing certain things. This is another way that being curious or opening to just simply what's arising. The instructions are so simple, always the same. What's here? What is the mind aware of? And what's the relationship to it? Curious about a fear to not knowing, a sense of insecurity about not knowing. What is that? Sometimes that relationship relates to not so much the direct experience of recognizing the impermanence, but the fear is more connected to an idea about what it means that things are impermanent. A little bit of projection into the future, just even a split second into the future. I don't know what the next moment will be. I don't have control over the next moment. And it's more of a relationship to the idea. That we don't know. In this kind of place, sometimes the experience can come to seeing that fear. And open to what is here. Each moment, body sensation, thoughts, moods, the five aggregates tumbling on, known, shifting, changing rapidly, but each moment aware and known. And the sense, or the, because of the rapidity of change, the understanding that the next moment is not knowable until it arises. And it can feel like you're standing on the edge of an abyss, on solid ground in this split second, but asked to step into the abyss with no knowledge of what that next moment will be. And what happens as you step into the abyss is that you find yourself again standing on the edge of the abyss. And there's a development and trust of kind of stepping into that unknown moment to moment. The knowing will be arising. When it arises. And then sometimes there's another flavor of the taste of impermanence, where right in the present moment, things feel like they're vanishing so rapidly that there's not even a way to know what is vanishing. It's a slippery quality. Feels like nowhere to land. Nothing really known. This place in the present moment can feel very uncomfortable. The relationship to that. Can feel terrifying. And again, that relationship is based on misunderstanding. Kind of a very deeply conditioned belief there needs to be some place to land. Needs to be something known. Joseph Goldstein uses an image, an analogy for how practice unfolds, some of these places of, over time, you know, different relationships to practice, different relationships to what we're seeing and knowing and understanding. And he says it's like going skydiving for the first time. First, there's not much sense at all of what is going to happen. A little bit of, you know, trust in what the teachers say and how it's going to unfold and what you're going to do and what's going to happen. And then you get up in the plane and there's a little bit of excitement, maybe a little bit of interest and curiosity and then the plane gets to level and the door opens and you're standing at the edge of the door looking. And there's the abyss. You have to step into that abyss. And you do, because you kind of are trusting the teachers and trusting the parachute and things like that. And then as you let go and start to fall, and there's maybe the kind of the adjusting and the fear there of like, whoa, that feels different. And then as the body and mind kind of adjust and settle, it's like, oh, wow, this feels kind of nice. And then there's a recognition that there's no parachute. And fear just explodes. Terror. And then there's the recognition. And this is where the skydiving analogy shifts. There's a recognition that in the practice here, there is no ground. There is just endless slipping through changing experience. Opening to the unknown. That we don't know the next moment, that we don't know there's nowhere to land, that this deep unknowing of the present moment requires a lot of trust, a lot of letting go, and a deep restructuring of our beliefs about experience, our beliefs about what this being is. As I sit here, this image arising of the vastness of the cosmos again, the vastness of space, planets, stars being born and dying, galaxies forming and colliding over a vast expanse of time. Just processes unfolding. Our own experience, our own arisings, being like these births of stars and formations of galaxies and collisions of galaxies and shifting, changing nature. Just nature unfolding. This truth that we don't know what the next moment will be. That's true at the ordinary level of daily life. And at these deeper levels of, or more fine-grained levels of our momentary experience. We really do not know if we will be alive in the next moment. This is a that we don't understand that truth, that we don't, you know, kind of recognize that is just, you know, it's the belief in the concept of the, you know, sense of me carrying on. Apparently, one day, about 66 million years ago, a meteor the size of Mount Everest hit the Yucatan Peninsula. And science now thinks that within hours of that impact, the vast majority of life in North and South America died immediately, or died within hours of that impact. Vast levels, like, there's so much out there, we don't know what's going to happen that way. And just more ordinarily, just, you know, maybe a slip and fall down the stairs, or hit your head. So much uncertainty. And so, you know, a couple pieces. What is the relationship to that uncertainty? The fear, the terror, the giving up, the sense of why bother? You know, the Buddha pointed to this, or the teachings of the Buddha point to this radical uncertainty, and that, you know, the interesting, paradoxical thing that seems to happen for us when we align with that truth. We recognize, yes, that is the way it is, without resistance, without clinging, without greed or aversion or confusion, without beliefs and ideas about it, but just this is the truth. Then there's kind of two things that I feel like are the result of that. One is that the system, the experience in this system, becomes radically peaceful. And the processes of this system that choose and decide and act and engage want to help other people, want to support there to be less suffering in the world. And so our choices and actions matter, even though there's this radical not knowing how the results of those actions will unfold. And I do have the sense, the understanding, both from the teachings and a little from my own experience in touching into those places where there's less greed, aversion, and delusion, and more of a sense of an alignment with truth, that in that place the natural response of the human system from that wisdom is to act with compassion. So the internal and the external. And the whole exploration around deeply opening to these truths. It's a process. And the practice, whatever is happening, practices the same to meet what's here. Notice the relationship, knowing that is also something to know. That process deepens, keeps uncovering how the greed, the aversion, the delusion are operating at deeper levels. So it's simple. The practice itself is simple. And it's not easy. It takes courage to really, a courage to step into this, these truths. You just don't want to see them. We'd rather, at times it feels like we'd rather just not know. That's also a relationship. Not wanting to not know is happening.